Well, this is Presbyterians Sharing Sunday, which is, as I think I mentioned before, an opportunity for us to be reminded that we are part of something larger than just ourselves, larger than even the occasional joint service with St. Mark's. We are part of a denomination that is able to do things because of the shared resources that we have. And obviously, the only way we can have shared resources is if we get them from somewhere. And well, I'm quite sure the Presbyterian Sharing folks are not above accepting government grants for useful things that don't have strings attached that we can't live with. For the most part, the money that goes towards the projects of Presbyterian Sharing and all of those other things come from people just like us. They come from the donations of people who attend churches on a regular basis. And usually this comes on top of what you ordinarily give to the church already. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, why do people give? And there's lots of reasons why, and there's some bad ones. Giving out of guilt is not a good reason to give. Whoever you give it to will still take the money. It's impossible to tell. The only time I've ever heard of a group refusing money this is a long time ago. One of my older brother's classmates, who had lived an extremely challenging early life, had dramatically come to the faith. And he was in Vancouver, where he had all of his money that he'd made working on the rigs, which I think at that time he had about $3,000 in cash, which he tried to give to the Salvation Army. And they said no, because what this usually means is somebody is getting rid of all of their stuff before they go and commit suicide. And so they refused to take it. And they said, no, we will, we'll give you a place to stay and we'll help you deal with it or whatever else. But he was filled with the notion that he needed to sell everything he had and give it to the poor. So he walked around East Vancouver and gave all of his money away and came to Bible College and has been a pastor ever since. So it worked out for him. And whether they should have taken it or not is sort of irrelevant. It went to people who needed it regardless. But on the whole, we tend to accept gifts because that's what we do. If we're giving to people because we're feeling guilty, we might want to try and figure out what's going on there. That's probably not the best motivation. If nothing else, it doesn't really last. There's a better way, a better reason for us to give, or a better platform from which we can give. And Paul talks about it in his letter to Timothy. And he begins by saying a very interesting little phrase that, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And in the context of 1 Timothy, he's talking here and there about people who are obviously using their spiritual acuity or their leadership roles to gain money. And Paul's addressing that, but he's talking about something even larger than that, where he's talking about contentment. And he says, for if we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And goes on to talk about how people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap. And then sort of culminates in one of the great generally misquoted passages of scripture, where Paul says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, or the root of evil, which many people just say money is the root of all evil, which is certainly not true. Money is just money. It's a thing. It's like saying a brick is the root of all evil because somebody hit you with one. It's how it's used. And the love of money is the problem. And what gets you away from the love of money, what gets you away from the trap of this desperate need for wealth, is contentment. The thing that's interesting is contentment sort of makes all of this work. We simply cannot give if we are chronically discontented with what we have. If every time we open our eyes, every time we look around at what we have, all we see is what we don't have, it'll be very difficult for us to give to anyone. If we look at ourselves only in perhaps in relation to someone else who has more, if when we look at our possessions and instead of looking at them for what they are, we look at how they're inferior to that person or this person over there, if what we see makes us feel bad about it, if what we see makes us discontented, it's really hard to take some of that money that we have and give it to someone else. Well, what's the answer to discontent? Well, I think Paul gives us some ideas right here in his letter to Timothy. He says, "For we brought nothing into the world, we take nothing out of it. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Now, does this mean, as some people have taken it, that as long as you have enough to eat and enough to wear, that's all you need? And if you have any more than that, you're somehow out of the will of God or you're misbehaving? And the answer there, of course, is no, that's not the case at all. What Paul is saying, and what he's zeroing in on, is what is it that you need, rather than what is possible to possess? If you measure what you have by what is still out there to be had that you don't have yet, you will always be lacking. There's always more things to own. There's more things to have. There's more experiences to enjoy. There's always more. And if you look at your life based on what you don't have yet, then you will always find something missing. If you look at your life from the perspective of what you do have, it makes it a lot easier to be content. Because what is content? Content is not settling. Contentment is not a fatalistic view that this is as good as it gets. I guess I may as well be happy. No, contentment looks at what it is that is most important. And do you have what's necessary to achieve what's most important? That's a good question to ask. Because all of us lack things. Some of them are very important. Some of us lack health. Some of us lack well-being. Some of us lack the necessities of whatever it is we might need, to be sure. But on the whole, when you look at your life and you think of the critically important things, the things that you must have, what is preventing you from having them? Well, what are those things you need? You can look at, was it Maslow's pyramid of needs and all these other things. What do we need? We need enough to, we need air to breathe. We need water to drink. We need food to eat. We need shelter. We need, and that includes clothing. So those are sort of the obvious ones that just keep life going. But there's so much more than that. We need meaningful relationships. We need meaningful work to do, whether we get paid for it or not, it's irrelevant. We need to have the sense that we matter. We need to have people who matter to us and to whom we matter. These are the things that we simply must have. Very few of those are purchasable. Contentment comes not from buying enough things that you don't notice what you don't have anymore. Contentment comes from realizing that what you have is sufficient for the life that you want to live. That you have enough that you can minister to those around you, that you can take care of your responsibilities, that you can be successful in those endeavors that you want to be. And maybe that takes money. Often it does for some of those things, but what it takes more than anything else is a realistic assessment of what's there. This isn't just matching ourselves up against the poorest person we know. This isn't just a matter of saying, well, we're better off than somebody, therefore we're fine. This is more a matter of looking at what we have and reminding ourselves that it's sufficient, if it is. And I think for most of us it is. That we can be content with what we have, even though there is more to have and good things to be had. We're not talking about buying, you know, 50 cars. There's nothing wrong with wanting things that make you happy. There's nothing wrong with purchasing things that allow you to be comfortable and these other things. We're not being called to live a life of austerity. We're called to live a life that says, do we have enough? And if we have enough, do we have any left over? Because we can't give if we're chronically contented with the lot of others either. If we are okay with the fact that there are some people who don't have enough to eat, then we won't give. If we're okay with the fact that there are some people who don't have access to clean water, then we won't give either. If we're okay with women not being able to do what they want to do because they're oppressed, the girls aren't allowed to go to school in various places, if we think this is just fine, we're not going to give then either, because why would we? But obviously we don't think those things are fine. We think those things are wrong. They're a sign of the fallenness of the world. They're not a sign of God's perfection. Those are opportunities for us to make a difference, for us to give. But we can't do that if we're not aware of other people's needs, and those needs don't do something to us. It's good if we can be aware of the needs of the world and not be crushed by how horrible it is. And I've met people who are paralyzed almost by how terrible things are. And that's not a good place to be. But we can't just look at the rest of the world, and for that matter, the rest of the country, and sometimes the rest of the province, and say, no, everybody's fine. There's nothing to be done. Either it's systemically so poorly managed, or it's so broken that we can't fix it at all, or those people actually deserve it, or it's not that bad, or whatever it is. We need to rise above those things. We need to educate ourselves to see what actually does need to be done, and then see where we can make a difference. We'll never fix everything. That's beyond us. We'll never fix the fallen world. That's God's business. He'll take care of that at the right time. But we won't even fix all of those things that we know of that could be fixed if there was just enough money, because we just don't have those resources. But we still have the resources to do something. And the proverb or the statement that says, don't let the fact that you can't do everything keep you from doing what you can, is something that's good for us to remember. Whatever we can give to Presbyterian Sharing, to World Vision, to many places that are doing good work, whatever we give is meaningful and significant. And the best platform to give from is a contentment with what we have, a sense of thankfulness and gratitude to God for all of the gifts that we do have, that is sufficient for us and even leaves us with some left over to give to other people. And an understanding that not everyone is in the same position. There are people, perhaps through making bad choices themselves, but perhaps through systemic racism and oppression, who don't have enough to eat, and we do. Who don't have proper shelter, and we do. Who don't have the necessities of life, that we do. It's from that perspective. Not out of guilt, not out of a sense of our own unworthiness, although sometimes we think that that's not what we're after. We want to give from hearts that are filled with gratitude. We want to give generously because we have enough. And we have enough when we believe we have enough. And we will have enough if we look to God for all that we need, who has promised to provide what it is that we need. And when we realize we have, we take a look and see what's extra. What can go to those people, whether it's through Presbyterian Sharing funds, or whether it's to someone you know. It all comes from knowing that we're contented enough, that we're okay with what we've got, and we're not okay that some people are missing. Amen.